This is Colorado Matters from Colorado Public Radio. I'm Ryan Warner. Managing a greenhouse, monitoring solar panels, learning to fly fish. Those are examples of how a handful of Colorado schools teach environmental education. Now, with a new statewide plan in place, the hope is to expose a lot more kids to the outdoors and to the lessons they can teach. Joining us is Jana Six of the Alliance for Sustainable Colorado. Her group helped push for the adoption of a statewide environmental education plan. Jana, it's nice to have you with us.
It's a pleasure to be here, Ryan. Thank you.
What is it you want students to grasp when we talk about environmental education?
They need to be prepared to assess and handle the environmental challenges that are going to be occurring during their lifetimes. And so there's no specific questions you can test a student on to find out if they are environmentally literate, but it's understanding the relationships of them to their community, to the natural environment around them.
What do you think's on the list in terms of the challenges they'll face environmentally? What do you want that curriculum
to
entail?
The one that's already occurring that people need to be aware of and students are talking about is drought and local food production. How is our lack of water going to affect our food production? How resilient are we?
Do you see this as a class, or is the idea that it's infused into other subjects?
That's a good question. It's actually becomes part of the culture of a school or a whole school district. It's a way of learning that gets the kids outdoors, gets them doing hands-on projects in their communities where they're engaged in real-world issues. So they're not just doing theoretical exercises in a book. And so it covers multiple subjects at once.
Let me say that environmental education is codified in Colorado. It went through the legislative process, and this dates back to 2010, correct?
That's right.
What happened then?
Legislation passed that required the state to create an environmental education plan. And just this last December 5th, the Board of Education passed that plan with bipartisan support.
Help me understand, is this a requirement of school districts? Is it a strong suggestion?
There is no mandate. And teachers won't be required to teach environmental education. But what the plan will do is to give teachers better access to the environmental education materials that are already out there. And it'll make more available teacher training for outdoor education that they might not be familiar with.
This could be a math teacher. It could be a science teacher, English teacher.
Any subject, any grade, pre-K through 12.
It strikes me that this could result in a patchwork, not even just some schools that are doing it and some that are not, but some classrooms that are doing it and some that are not.
That is already happening. The Alliance for Sustainable Colorado published a report of 19 schools that are already doing successfully environmental education school-wide. What we found out that there were hundreds of other examples that no one even knew about. This plan will help bring all that information together so that one school won't have to create or reinvent a lesson that other schools have already used.
You're listening to Colorado Matters. I'm Ryan Warner. And the Colorado Board of Education has just recently passed an environmental education plan. This is the idea of making students in this state environmentally literate. Jana Six of the Alliance for Sustainable Colorado, you mentioned that you did a survey of schools and found that some were already engaged in this kind of stuff. What is, to you, the most sparkling example of that?
One example is from Ponderosa High School in Douglas County. In 2006, the Peace Jam Club was formed, a handful of students. They decided to take on recycling. By the end of the first year, they had reduced their waste by 80%. So the second year, which gets more exciting, they decided to take on energy waste. And after 4 years of encouraging people to turn off the lights and the appliances and the computers, they had reduced their energy use 30%, saved the school $320,000. And the whole district went on fire. They said, this is a great idea. Students were actually learning about energy in their classrooms and then going out and doing the audits of the school. So they were doing a little peer pressure for each other.
Can you give us an example of something they did in the energy savings?
The students actually replaced the light bulbs in the building and saw how effective that was in reducing the energy cost.
Was this really the students or was it the faculty that were
driving this?
In this
case, the students were driving it, and the faculty empowered the students to do the work. That doesn't happen in a lot of schools.
Is there an example from outside the metro area?
Sure. Fruta Monument High School, which is in a rural area, offers classes to help students build jobs in rural industries. One of the examples that I loved is that they've created a greenhouse and garden, and the students in a class buy into the greenhouse co-op. So they actually pay $5 per share. They end up growing the vegetables or the ornamental plants, and then they market them and they sell them. So they're learning business skills, agricultural skills, and in the end, they find out if they've made a profit or have been successful.
Is this a luxury in schools that are struggling? There's a lot of focus right now on, you know, gaps in reading, writing, and arithmetic. Is this the right focus for Colorado schools right now?
Definitely. It's not a luxury. It's more essential. Right now, students are spending 90% of their time indoors. So getting them outdoors helps physical exercise, helps them explore areas that they don't usually see. Teachers in the report explain that students are much more engaged and enthusiastic. There's fewer absences when they're doing these kinds of hands-on projects.
I suppose that this really has to be tailored to the community in which it's happening. In other words, environmental education might look very different for an urban Denver school than it would for something on the plains, for instance.
What we found in the report of success stories of schools across Colorado was that it depended on the local environmental concern, like water quality in the Yampa River in Craig, or it depended on the partner that was available, like the nonprofit Yampatika that helps perform the environmental education classes in every grade.
Yampatika, this is a Ute word, and that's the name of the organization. You're placing a really big emphasis on these partnerships in communities. What would be other examples of groups that could come forward to help a school?
I have seen examples of restaurants who have donated garden supplies to a local school so they could set up the school garden. At Edison Elementary, they now have a classroom garden where the kindergarten classes take photos of the plants through their life cycle. So throughout the year, they're seeing the plant go from a seed to an entire vegetable.
Edison Elementary, this is in Denver?
Yes.
And what's in it for the restaurant, or why are they participating?
These particular restaurants have a mission to utilize local and organic food, and they just want to share that with the students.
And then is the food served in the school or something like that?
Yes.
I see.
Yes.
Restaurants, then, are one example. Any others of potential partners?
In Fruta Monument, there are several state agencies. The Forest Service is partnering, the local construction company. Farmers, the FFA, the Future Farmers of America, is reaching out to the local farmers. And then the oil and gas industry is providing input, too, into classes.
Boy, this seems like a potential area for driving political agendas. That is, what if a district links up with a group that's lobbying for a particular environmental policy? Is there some concern there?
Not really, because environmental education is not teaching young people what to think. It's teaching them how to think. So it should be presenting the facts and let students make judgments.
Yeah, but the solutions to drought, for instance, some might call for damming. Others might call for trans-state pipelines. It just seems that you get pretty quickly into territory that could be a polemic. I mean, that must have been thought through.
High-quality environmental education doesn't become political. It's pointing out the benefits and impacts of every decision and connecting the dots between that decision and how it affects the community so that people are welcome to make their own decision and judgment.
Where do you want to see this in, say, 10 years? Where do you hope the environmental education movement is then?
In 10 years, I would hope that every Colorado student graduates becoming environmentally literate. They know where their food is coming from, where their energy is coming from. They don't take water and clean air for granted.
Jana, it's been a pleasure to talk to you. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Ryan.
Jana Six is with the Alliance for Sustainable Colorado. She talked to us about the state's new environmental education plan. You can read that report detailing some of the best examples already out there at cpr.org.